Good evening, it's the 28th of November, this is Insatiable Banalities, podcast number 61, and we're in the pod with the Fuelers, and the funk is back, the summer funk, the air
the
is
fug.
Closing in. The fug, not the funk, yeah, but it's a very funky fug.
It's a funky fug.
And the Fuelers, if you could just say hi to the audience for us here.
G'day.
Not after you said funk.
You don't do funk?
No. There's no funk in the room.
Well, talk about the twang in the air.
Right, there's a twang in the air.
Oh, now you're talking.
Okay. And you guys are?
Blind Boy.
We've got Caltech Star here on the bull fiddle.
And Thingy Bob on traps.
Bull fiddle, you say?
Oh, it's got so many names. Yeah.
Bull fiddle being the double bass, right?
That's right. Bull fiddle, doghouse, stand up.
Is that
string bass?
Is that like the standard name? Bull fiddle always means a double bass.
Yeah, basically, it's sort of what they call in country world.
Well, because I've seen that term used in a lot of books, and I've always thought it was just a fiddle.
But
now I've realised they were playing
a really
double bass.
Really,
you thought it was a male fiddle.
Yeah,
as opposed to a female one.
As opposed to a cow fiddle, yeah. Because it was a bloody Flashman book, had a bloody British general playing one, and I thought he had some little fiddle he was playing. He was lugging a double bass across India. Jesus.
Yes,
Well, there you go. And the Fuelers, so do you want to describe the music? Do you have any genres or something that you sort of... subscribe to?
Yeah, we've kind of coined our own. We play Diesel Billy or char-grilled racing tunes. So I think that's sort of descriptive enough, really.
Yeah, you used to be called Grand Theft Auto. Is that
correct? Yeah, we had a little clash of names with a Sydney outfit that dropped off the perch a long time ago.
And the computer game.
And the computer game. You do not want that name if you're going to go onto the net. You just don't want that name.
So you called yourselves Grand Theft Auto, and a band from Sydney said,
No, we were actually first.
Yeah.
But there was a band in Britain called that anyway. The whole thing was a bad idea. And they copyrighted their name, which was interesting. I don't know if many bands
they must have trademarked
it. They did, which I think was just because they got wind that we were called that too. And it's like, hey, you could have given us a case of beer or you could have settled this over a six-pack,
somehow.
Yeah.
Instead, they had to pay a bloody lawyer to write you a letter. And
Nobody wrote us anything, really, but I think they did trademark the name.
I ran into a guy from Brisbane who had a band there called Travis.
Yeah.
And they trademarked their name just as a sort of... Their manager said that'd be a good idea, and shortly afterwards, we were contacted by an English band called Travis.
Scottish.
Oh, well, yeah, whatever. They got $30,000.
Wow!
To drop the
rights. That's why you're trying. Yeah, we would cheat.
I mean, you could actually.
That's fine.
You could make it's a bit like registering domains. You know, you could sort of just. Find bands that are just on the verge of going in America and England and go, right, let's form a band called that, trademark it, and then just wait.
I mean, I've got a site called The Riot Act, and Pearl Jam named an album after it, and they didn't contact us at all. So, you know,
I think it's up to you to contact them. So you can't use
I could have contacted
them. Where's your team of lawyers?
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, you were saying these other guys got contacted by Travis, and they got the money, whereas we have the name of Riot Act, Pearl Jam's album. We're a .com, so we got tons of traffic out of it. All these Americans looking at us like, "This has got nothing to do with Pearl Jam." Very
should have just done the occasional post about.
It's a nice view out
Pearl
this window.
What window?
Would you like us to play a song?
Spin a tune.
Okay.
No, spin. Let's us spin a tune.
Oh, right.
Let's play something now. You ready? 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's hard enough to say I'm sorry, but if we gotta go, I'll sit through. Like not to hear about it every day. Oh, like not to hear about it every day. Oh, how my sun would shine. Kiss my ass goodbye. Now I'm a loser. People come and tell me every day. I'm a loser. What the hell do they know anyway? I'm the coward of the counter.
Of the county, and that was not particularly char grilled.
That sounds Gregor. Quite country there. But,
what is char grilled?
Char grilled is kind of burnt, toasted.
Right.
Something on the verge of being toasted.
Toasted tunes. Toasted on the open exhaust header of preferably a pre 1964 vehicle.
Or musical stage.
What happened in 1964 that changed your thoughts on vehicles?
Well, you know, actually, I'd like to revise that. 1962 is probably what I would say that your wraparound windscreens tended to disappear, and so did tail fins.
Oh, right.
So you like the big Yank tank sort of.
You like the old rocket
gunboats.
Yeah, absolutely. The Jetson style.
Indeed. The space age was it.
Now, I've got to ask, there was a bit of a coward of the county thing going on in that song.
And I'm a loser.
Yeah, and who's that?
That's Kenny Rogers,
that's
right?
Kenny Rogers. Yes.
That's Kenny.
Yes, indeed.
It's Kenny Rogers' char grill.
Oh, no. He's char grill.
Kenny Rogers is the raw material which you guys are char grilling, right?
Yeah, well, it's an ingredient in the country cake.
Yeah.
What about Willie Nelson?
Willie. Well, see, we don't do enough listening of that kind of stuff, do we?
We don't.
Willie's got kind of whiny in his old age, though, hasn't he?
No, not really. He's doing great things. He's making biodiesel. You can get this Willy diesel. Like, he's making shitloads of biodiesel. He is a man. He's salt of the earth, that guy.
And pretty soon all the cities are going to smell of fish and chips.
Oh, well, that's an okay.
Or Willy diesel.
That's fine.
Willy diesel.
Yeah, look, no, you can't say a bad word about Willy diesel.
No, he was a radical.
He's less a radical.
Yeah, so there you have it. That's more of the Diesel Billy side of things. Do we want to put something on that's more char grilled now?
Or are we going to play something?
Let's play something char grilled. Yeah. Shall we? How about
he's trying to keep up the
Honkin' Mule.
Where's my guitar? Where did I put my bloody guitar in? It slid under the sofa.
Crank it up, blind boy. Count it in.
Count it in again, blind boy.
One, two, three, let's go.
That's quite a lot. Your honking mule rocket says go, go, go. Honking mule rocket, he's never slow. I got a little bit of honking in my pocket. It's a honking mule rocket. A honking mule rocket. Ooh, a honking mule rocket. I got a big floppy ears and a great fur coat. A helmet on his head and a jacket to blow. Rocket on his back, there's 425. He's got a little parachute that keeps him alive. I got a little bit of honking, it's honking in my pocket. It's a honking mule. Saddled up, I'm gonna light the fuse. Now that I'm clear, you're gonna lose. With the sizzle and a pop and a cheesy grin, my body's on the table, this time I'm gonna win. I got a little bit of honkin', it's honkin' in my pocket. It's a honkin' mule rockin'.
cross the line, and then he go boom. I'm hucking me a rocket, his fate is doom. It's a honkin' mule rocket, honkin' mule rocket, oh, a honkin' mule rocket, I gotta, oh, I got a honkin' mule rocket, I got a honkin' mule rocket, I gotta. It's a honking mule rocket.
Honkin' mule rocket. No, I was going to say male rocket.
And when you said male rocket, you raised a point.
You raised a point because I think when I listen to that song, I say, oh, they're big noting their dicks.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What I thought. You were advertising to the audience.
I got a big
you've got
dick.
Honking mule rockets in your pants.
I got a big dick.
No.
So, yeah. I've got a fascination for fast mules.
Right.
Yeah. It's actually presented to me by a
noisy fast mules.
Noisy, yeah.
With rockets dangerous strapped to their backs.
Yeah, a little parachute.
Have they got rollerblades on, or are they trying to run to keep up?
No, not really. They just kind of launch off the back of your flatbed truck.
On a car.
They just kind of launch. If the rocket's good enough.
It's a very flat car, and the hooks are strapped in, and they're on the four little wheels,
there's
and on a ramp.
Here, people. Yeah. There's visuals.
And they've got a big rocket like you'd see on Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Strapped to them.
Acme.
And
they
light the fuse, and it goes poof down this ramp, and goes rockets down the ramp, and then off a skid, and you see it vanish.
So what does char-grilled mule taste like?
Just like that song.
Oh, my God, I'd never eat him. I gave him a decent burial.
I was going to say, we haven't had any of that since Parachilna. They'll serve up everything there.
Yeah.
Camel, you know.
Where's this?
That's in South Australia.
Okay.
Parachilna.
Yeah.
Yes.
You played a game in Parachilna?
No, I have. We are yet to, but we should. It's Parachilna Roadhouse. There's nothing out there, but they serve a lot of meat. Desert meat.
You guys, talking about where you have or haven't played, you've been around the country a bit. You've been to Tamworth.
Yes, we've
you've
done
played
five
on the street.
Tamworth.
So five
what,
Tamworth.
What did Tamworth think of your humorous approach to their genre?
Everyone except Telstra thought it was good. We got removed from the Telstra stage when we started doing bogus ads for their phones and talking about privatisation.
Yes, they had full-size cutouts of photographic cardboard Lee Kernighan's, Tanya Kernighan,
Adam Brand.
Who were Australian country music stars.
Yeah, we auditioned in front of on the stage facing the Tamworth Street. We auditioned Lee Kernighan.
Yeah.
To join the band. We said, hey, Lee, come over here.
Well, it was interesting. We announced that Lee was joining us on stage, and all these people from afar turned around and started walking over.
Oh, yeah, right. We had a huge crowd. We stuck a mic right up in front of Lee, because he was Lee size. He looked like Lee. He was wearing a hat. He was smiling.
Lee, it was just the cowboy cat at your auditioning. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, right.
He even had a Lee-sized mouth, didn't he? Like, really small.
He did, yeah. Right. Little beady eyes, just like Lee. And we said, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a new bloke here. He's a bit green. He wants to join the band. We're going to play a little song, and he's going to sing, and we'll see how he goes. So we put the mic in front of Lee, and 1, 2, 3, 4, off we go. We tore into this instrumental song.
Didn't sing anything.
Yeah.
So come on in now, like we did in the rehearsal.
Ladies and gentlemen, tell him to sing. Come on, Lee. You're bloody useless.
No, it's okay. So Tamworth, we're ready.
So
meanwhile, all the Telstra staff were standing on the side going, oh, what are they doing? Save Lee.
See, I don't imagine the Telstra staff at Tamworth have a good time. But
as soon as we finish, we'll get hauled out of there.
Do they have a big cane with the hook on the end?
Yeah, they do. They didn't turn off your amps.
What were they doing?
No.
A lot of people, I have to say, remember that gig, and I'm touched and honoured that they do. There were people years later saying, oh, I saw that Telstra gig of yours.
That was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, that was a good
one. I think we peaked.
That was what we peaked.
Now, here's the question. What drugs had you taken taken before you tried to pull that stunt?
No, we don't touch
Who needs drugs when you've got
a charred real... They don't take drugs.
Haven't you heard of
it? Okay, how much beer? I was including alcohol as a drug
beer
when I
said that. No, this was at about midday.
So, four or five.
And you're talking about 40-degree heat. That probably has more to do with it.
It's
we're all but passing out.
It's possibly what they were drinking the night before when they planned it.
And the fact that Tamworth is a circus.
Yeah.
Everywhere is a circus. Every
this
street.
Is the Tamworth Country Music Festival.
Yes, that's right. And the population trebles for...
It does more than treble, I believe.
Something like 70 to 90,000, I think.
Yeah.
Now, Randall Blair's also played Tamworth, hasn't he? Who's another
He came up with us
people.
1 year, didn't
he?
Oh,
okay.
Third year we did it? Fourth year we did it.
How do they feel about the Canberra boys at Tamworth?
Actually, the biggest time we... The
you
time we weren't treated like lepers was when Canberra was on fire. And that was great because suddenly we were one of the... We were part of the brethren, you know?
Yeah,
we know how it feels. And it was all great until the Gunnedah pet food shop, pet food plant, you know, factory, burnt down and actually exploded.
Yeah.
And then it was all about Gunnedah and... Blow Canberra, you know, whatever.
So
it was pet
food.
Now, listen, I have to break in here and I have to give our listeners the awful news that we have gone sort of corporate. We have sold out. We have accepted.
I've bought a new Ferrari.
He's bought a Ferrari. Yes, we have advertisers on the Insatiable Banalities podcast. And we're now going to play our first little musical ad, which is for Big Man Chainsaws.
When I go and talk to Big Man, I find it a country mile ahead of the rest. But when I pump that throttle and I feel that grunt, well, a big man is.
Big Man Chainsaws, 650cc's of masculine grunt right where it counts, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, the little lady is not forgotten. 250cc's of kitchen handiness, slices, dices and juliennes. Two-stroke kitchen happiness, that's right. At Big Man, we're proud to endorse the Fuelers. They're a great little band that's been selling a few saws for us both regionally and in some of the sort of nether regions of the suburbs where a lot of tree felling is sorely neglected. A lot of old growth there that's just got to go.
And actually, I mean, this represents a brave new world of sort of like combining commercial and musical interests, bands getting out there, selling hardware... in the country.
I've got to say, I was impressed that you guys have followed, or possibly you led him down that path, Mr. Jim Boots, painting your ute up to advertise your site, your website. And you've got the Big Man advertising on the side of your van.
Yeah, we got that van through Big Man. Johnny Crankshaft arranged that for us.
Right.
And, you know, it's been a good van. It's done some miles. We used to have... one that belonged to, what's his name, Harry the Punch Gaylord. He was one of the distributors for Big Man for a long time. We owned his XD wagon for a long time.
Yeah, it had a million Ks on
million,
the clock.
Yeah.
A million Ks.
It only felt like 100,000.
How many times around the planet is that?
It's 15,000 each time.
Well, that's not time. Important. What's important is how many times to Mildura and back is it? Because
I think it's got to be close to... 50,000.
Something like that.
It's a lot.
Mildura's a favourite haunt of the Fuelers, is it?
Not at all, but a lot of Big Man chainsaws get sold there.
Right. I've seen a lot of one-tonners.
I came across a product recently at our local tip retailer, the Shed at Mitchell, and it was a very old jack with King Dick written on the side.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that could be, you know, perhaps a sister product, a brother product more like.
You might
more appropriate.
Can you check underneath? Because you might have found...
There might be the Big Man logo.
Yeah.
What is the big man trademark?
The trademark.
It's one of these.
You want
it?
The kind of well, it's
the arm with the singlet with the blue font.
I think most people who've travelled a lot of k's around Australia would have seen it on roadside signs.
The big chin.
Yep. The big chin.
Well, a lot of our audience do live in Canada and the Netherlands and.
Well, there's a lot of logging work to do there.
There are no trees to be knocked down in the Netherlands. Yeah, yeah. They got to all those trees in about 1750.
Pre-big man, jeez.
They cut those ones down the hard way. If only they'd had a big man, that'd have been done by 1700.
So. All those big chains tried to track it, so good job.
Yeah, well,
big man chains.
The fact is that the fuelers have done quite well out of Big Man. It's an endorsement that sort of covers our petrol. As long as we knock over about 3 saw sales a show, we're all right.
And so you're not trying to sell CDs. You've just got chainsaws in the merch.
Look, like you're saying, it's multimedia. You've got to kind of basically
selling CDs is a bit passé, isn't it? Really, for a band.
Well, everyone is going so sort of multimedia now. You've got web. You've got so forth, and we realise that it's just one branch in many. So chocolate coated army men are probably one of our biggest sellers now.
Right.
And pop cones, of course.
Pop cones. We'll be getting to the pop cones later.
Have you thought yet of doing a cooking book or show? Cooking book. And
show. We're actually in a cooking book now. What's it called?
Well, that was a delicate segue.
I don't know. I didn't mean it.
What was it called? That one we did in Tamworth a couple of years ago.
That was just after you were on the Bert Newton show, wasn't it?
That's right. That's it had a crowd song.
It came with a CD, the cookbook, didn't it? From a band, there are about 18 bands, I think.
It had some big guns on it, didn't it?
Submitted a song and a recipe for the cookbook.
Yeah.
What
was your recipe? We had an orange trout.
Orange trout.
You didn't think of doing something more flamboyant?
Tend to have a sensitive side, you see. When it comes to cookery.
And what wine would you recommend to drink with your orange trout?
Beer.
yeah, well said. Weren't you a fueler before?
In my previous.
Now, look,
diesel lager.
I've got to say, you guys are all drinking beer, which is very much a middle class thing these days.
I'm not.
All the real truck drivers are drinking premixed bourbon and coke and rum and coke. Do you feel you might be falling behind the times?
I'm proud to be behind the times.
Middle class, maybe?
We're so obvious.
Lower middle class.
We're going to Sydney. Come on, our music's influenced by Frank Zappa and stuff that, I don't know, people in the country
Dale
kind
Watson,
of...
lots of country, fast country twang. Wouldn't call it any of our influences country and western. They're all...
What about Kinky?
Kinky Friedman. You know, our old fiddle player, Jed, had a soft spot for Mr. Friedman, but...
I saw him at Telly's, he was great.
Yeah? Oh, there you go. See, a little of everything you hear rubs off.
Frank Zappa did do that classic country ballad, but Heartbreak, I'll Be Harder Than Your Husband... to get along with. Do you know that one?
No, I don't.
I'll have
to interview. Oh, look, Dan Hicks and the Hot Wits. Do you know him? But there's another sort of influence. That gets played in the big man van quite a lot.
Can I throw up another possible influence? Canberra Lineage, band called Horse.
Band called Horse. Certainly presenting country to city folk.
Yeah.
They were one of our first brethren in the early days when Grand Theft Auto took off. We used to play down at the uni bar with those guys.
Yeah, that's right.
The Godfathers.
There were a few bands.
How did that go at the uni bar, can I just ask?
They were good. I don't know. Some of those gigs were good. But the uni bar.
How was the uni bar, full stop?
Okay, the uni bar is watching a small band through a letterbox at the best of times.
Yeah. Literally because they've got that stupid...
I've got many fond memories of the uni bar, and I love it, but... We found that when we play gigs in Canberra, unless we play them really central to town, people, you don't get as many people. Yeah. So we've tended just to do...
So the green room being 400 metres from the CBD, it's not the green room, the ANU bar being 400 metres from the CBD, that's just too far.
We found that students might walk there and back. Yeah. During the day, but they won't walk
Well,
there at
the
night.
Thing is that student culture dangerous changed. It used to be...
Yes,
the Friday
definitely.
Haunt, and if you know, you well, could when you be say anyone, used to be, you could are you fart talking into 20 a jar years ago? And get a gig, but
No, I'm saying, you're talking before 12 years ago.
Yeah, the change. The changes
you
were.
Did your assignments for God's sake?
Yeah. No, hang on, you go back 20 years now.
The changes were that people didn't study for a vocation anymore. They were studying
for a career.
Mm. And they were not only studying but almost all working a part or full time job as well, because our studies no longer supports you and you can't
but
really
I think
get it anyway.
Simultaneous to that the Uni of Canberra started pushing the band thing, and the ANU, dropped the plate. They just couldn't run a brewery for a while there. And they spent all their money on bloody new fluorescent lighting.
One of the worst things they do, and this is why I will rarely ever go to a gig there, is as soon as the music stops, you turn around and the fucking shutters are down.
Yes,
exactly. And it's like, and everyone's got
to
be out of there in 15 minutes.
They got a midnight shut. If the band finished at 11, everyone could sit around and have a beer afterwards. But has anyone ever been to a gig that finished on time?
That's their license.
I'm still waiting. I don't know if it's their license, it's their policy, and the staff are only there because they're friends of the management.
You can
anyway,
increase
so
your
I
license, it's not that big a deal.
I don't think it's the license, I think it's just management. But,
let's not get too distracted by that.
Let's play another song.
Let's do that.
Do we want to go somewhat back in order and do...
What do you mean back in
back
order?
Back in order?
Well, you know, I think...
Who writes the set list, us or you?
You know
what
we're talking about.
What we're talking about here
is live music and its demise, aren't we? So why don't we play the Broke Thing Boogie, a little kind of ode to live music.
Yay.
And all it stands for.
Getting pissed.
You count it in, Thingamy.
2, 3, 4
Broke Thing Boogie. That was Broke Spoke, but Broke Thing Boogie is an ode to live music and the pitfalls of technology. So, how wonderfully apt.
Because what happened is, you guys can totally remember playing that song and recording it, and I'm not being able to find it on the technology here.
Well, that's right. Computers are a deep and mysterious thing, as I think Hal points out.
At least it hasn't pushed us out the airlock.
That's it. So. We actually have a song with that in it, too. Oh, yeah, right. I know there's a theme here. Now, Broke Spoke is by that wonderful composer Ennio Macaroni, isn't it? Yeah, as interpreted. Oh,
Macaroni?
Yeah, Ennio Macaroni. Yeah, Ennio Macaroni. No.
Oh, the other one.
The other one.
I'm getting things thrown at me.
Yeah. So there you have it. And
I think at this point I have to ask the Kath and Kim question.
Mm.
Are you part of country music culture, or are you taking the piss out of country music culture?
Mm-hmm. Are you bogans, or are you just pretending to be bogans?
Well, this man's the real deal. This is a Talangata boy over here.
Yeah,
how much
born
more
country?
More country?
I appreciate country.
You appreciate country, but your music does have a certain parodic, humorous, possibly satirical.
No, you just have to listen and see.
Well, I don't know. Mary May Gill is take the piss, and the country folk love her, and she's like the star of the Gimpy Muster and so forth.
Kevin Bloody Wilson is
country music, isn't he? Really?
But I wouldn't say Kevin Bloody Wilson is taking the piss out of country music as much as using country music to take
as
the piss out of other things.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I don't know. It's a sort of tightrope, isn't it? But
you guys definitely take the piss out of rednecks and country culture
and power tools.
It's more about that.
Yeah.
What are you saying about big man?
Alfonso.
We're going to have to leave.
The point to me is you can't take the piss out of something until you completely understand it. So I don't think we've earned the right to take the piss out of country. I'd never put it that we were doing that, and I wouldn't want to try. I got really told off because we give away a lot of prizes on the mythical and famous beer cactus. It goes beyond mythical. It's
tell us of the beer cactus.
Legendary.
Yes. Well, the beer cactus.
It's the world's famous beer cactus.
Yeah. And there are only five left in the world. The Smithsonian has one, but it won't flower. You see, we have the only flowering one in captivity, where it actually grows schooners.
It's
fantastic.
Make a good party.
We use it very cheaply. I'm sure it's very demeaning to the Mexicans who harvested these things for thousands of years. It's very demeaning.
Well, if it's only making beer, they wouldn't like it because it's not tequila. So, the fish John West rejects, really.
It was a beer of certain potency, and I tell you what, it was enough for the FBI to shut it all down in the 30s under Hoover. They came in, burnt a lot of them out. But we've got one of the five remaining ones.
I see.
And very cheap and nasty, I'm sure, but we run a kind of money or the box game with it.
Right.
And give away these prizes. Now, I got told off in a big way for giving away a Glen Campbell album, of which we had dozens. You see them in every option.
Not a rare album.
No, it's that one with the wood grain in the background. It's really cheesy. But you're saying you're better than Glen Campbell? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm
really
not,
told off.
No. Oh,
know?
I see.
And I thought, well, you know, it's sort of a fair call. We're taking the piss out of someone who, you know, believed in it. Yeah, that's right. Mm. And a marvellous singer, you know.
And I don't think you'll find any lyrics in any of our songs that directly take the piss out of anything to do with country music.
No, okay. I'm thinking more of your ads.
More is that we use country cliches to our best advantage, and they're in our repertoire of sounds that we use in songs.
I think it'd be correct to say that many in your city audience, as opposed to your Tamworth audience, whether they're listening to the lyrics explicitly or not or whatever, are getting the sense that you're not seriously portraying country music authentically, but that you're doing a parody of it.
Well, that's why I phrased it as the Kath and Kim question. Because
pushed into a box.
because the thing is, your Sydney Morning Herald reading audience watches Kath and Kim and says, this is terrible, they're degrading and taking the piss out of these people living in the outer suburbs. And the people who live in the outer suburbs watch and say, this is a hilarious take
because
on
that's my one of the things I like is that chainsaw users and truck drivers have come up to us and
they don't
shown
punch
us. They say, I've got a big man chainsaw. Come and check this out. It's really happened.
Taken us away to their shed and showing us the biggest motherfucking chainsaw
we've
ever seen.
No, it's kind of fun. Although,
were you scared?
Although I was getting text messages from this guy at 2 in the morning saying, I've just lit the barbecue, should I use more petrol? You know, yeah, but that's taking it all a bit.
So even the mad, the country followers like us.
Yeah, no, I think especially it's been,
as another country-born and bred person, I think that country people will understand when, you know, you're taking the piss out of them, but they enjoy it.
Because I can see it. I'm still arguing that we're not taking the piss out of them. Mm. We have, of our repertoire of songs, if you listen to an album, you'll find two or three, in some ways, kind of heartfelt songs that have nothing to do with parroting anything bar the songwriter himself.
Mm.
Yeah. And some songs that are kind of wild, silly stories about things that are old and broken, or cars, or girls and cars, or girls, religion and cars, and the back seats of, but not really, there's nothing that says, oh, I'm a country hick and I'm okay.
No,
part of it.
No.
But
there's, I think you...
I think it's an assumption on us city folks.
Yeah.
That you're doing that.
The fun thing is the bounce in the music that, oh, this can't be serious because...
But you do change your music to suit the audience. Because I've seen you guys play The Phoenix, which is a set where it's a very urban audience, at least from the audience point of view, having a laugh at the country stylings. And, say, just a few weeks ago at the Belconnen Community Festival... where, as far as I've viewed in the audience, you were playing a much straighter set.
Yeah, that was probably about time too, though. That was a very short set, and to do any kind of comedy, you have to actually have the audience with you for a while. And I tell you, in terms of the best comedy we've done lately, it's been at the Mary Mills Folk Club, because everyone's sort of quiet and listening and not going, come on, play another song. And you can kind of get into the timing of actually going, well, I'm going to tell you about Johnny Crankshaft. Or, or, you know, look, these are the benefits of a big man chainsaw and what it can do for you and how it can change your life. And people give you the time. So that's just playing to your audience, that any band will do that.
Sure.
Lee Kernaghan gets up there and does two songs and you'll probably go, come on, Australia, and give you his most rousing two hits. But give him an intimate cafe gig and... away he goes. Yeah, promoting Toyota for all that you're worth.
Okay, so I mean, admittedly, I've only seen you guys two or three times, which is reasonable for local music, but not encyclopedic by any means, because you guys do play a lot of gigs. So you're saying that the difference in your sets is more to do with the time constraints available rather than the...
No, you just play to your audience.
Play to the audience.
Everybody has that.
Do you know that we've done... How many weddings have we done now?
11.
We've done 11 weddings where we don suits. I think we look quite beautiful.
Yes,
and we get up and we play... And we play some lovely stuff for people. Yeah, we do bridal waltzes. And it's part about... entertaining is that you're contracted for a gig, and within our repertoire, which we try and, you know, we pull this little bit of string
time.
For all it's worth, we just play to that kind of thing. And we're funny guys, we like to have a bit of a laugh, and we probably laugh more amongst ourselves than in front of audiences.
Well that's
this
the danger,
has become
isn't
another
it?
Thing that we do given the right audience. People who want to hear it, okay, here comes, you know, our props that we've made and stuff, because it turns us on to
do that. Well, I think the danger of our show is that a lot of our humour is developed inside a van between the four of us. We actually have a fiddle player. Yeah, between Canberra
and Brisbane. I've never seen this fiddle player, so...
She's a Novacast fan.
Oh, a new one.
We get her in for the bigger gigs or the away gigs or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, petrol's expensive these days.
Right.
So we're a trans-state kind of band.
You're a national band.
We're a national band.
Our first fiddle player that we had, he left us.
We replaced him with a floor tom, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right. It was kind of
difficult. Much cheaper.
And it took a lot of adaptation on our part to... He actually sang more than half the songs.
Yeah, I remember
And
that.
So we had to make this... progression into being a three-piece.
Hmm.
And it took us quite a while to kind of nail it, but once we came up with what our formula is, it was okay, and we've kind of been operating largely like that 60% of the time as a band, as a three-piece. Then we welcome in our fiddle player from Newcastle, and it's a beautiful thing. We'll make a little bit more space, squeeze over a bit, fit in the fiddle player.
Get into the Phoenix stage.
And she sings like an angel, so... Oh, cool. And she's got a couple of her songs that we do, and...
Good stuff.
Okay, well, we have to move on to our contractual obligations now. And we're just going to play this little snippet about pop cones. Anyone had pop cones?
Anyone here had a pop cone?
I haven't had a pop cone yet.
I want one.
Which flavour? What's your favourite flavour?
This is a drug reference, right?
No. Popcorn,
just listen and you'll get the idea. Here we go.
The year was 1976 and the car to have was the Valiant Drifter Denim. You were eating a popcorn on the beach and the flavour to have was New Wild Lobster.
Lobster-flavoured pop cones. And I'm sorry, I'm ignorant. What on God's earth is a pop cone?
Pop cone is gorgeous.
Of course.
Gorgeous little... Oh, how do you describe it? It's
kind of crunchy.
It's a ice cream cone, like a theatre-type ice cream cone, flat-bottom ice cream cone, piled with your favourite flavour of popcorn.
Right.
Lobster, for instance. Wild lobster, there's Cajun chicken.
Right.
There's hot butter.
I think there's breath mint.
There's even new breath mint.
Yeah. That sounds a little revolting, but continue.
And, they're coated in shellac just to keep them
in place.
Right. Held together with liquid nails.
They were big in the 70s and they're still rocking.
Can sell
his no-gaps. Rocking.
It's part of, again, of the product diversification schema.
Is that a big man product?
No. I don't know.
It's Fuller County.
Fuller County Confectionery, I think.
Right. And you guys sell these at gigs?
Yeah.
Did you find your red
bag? We've sold
it. $10 will get you two.
Hang on. Right. I think we should stop now and just verify. Anne, did you get your bag?
I think I've got it right here. Sorry.
She didn't realise we were...
Wow, look at the stuff in her bag.
She's got no idea how big it is.
Now, look, do we want to just do a little sort of potted fuelless history? How did you guys meet?
I can give you about a dozen words, which is, okay, the beginning was Hank Budweiser's Truckin' Good Tunes, which blew it, didn't I? Over a dozen. Okay, Hank Budweiser's Truckin' Good Tunes, which the idea was to have a guitarless band come out of it because there was fiddle and a newly bought double bass on the scene, and we had a washboard player. And Blind Boy Murray saw us at the very first incarnation from that, which was Grand Theft Auto, and felt very sorry for us.
Pity,
I think. Yeah. We used to begin the set with a trucker's prayer and finish similarly. At any rate, Blind Boy joined, and pretty soon there were a few evolutions of sort of drummer becoming guitarist and this kind of thing, and so for a while we had two guitars, and then... by marvellous coincidence, we came across Thingamy Bob under a tractor in a field, and
he joined up because he's good at hitting things.
It's amazing bassy sound.
Lost our first fiddle player, so it left me as the only remaining member of Hank Budweiser's Truckin' Good Tunes. And
That band was devoted just to songs about trucking.
Purely about trucking, which, I mean, we're in good company there. Dale Watson's Trucking Sessions, for instance. Me and Louie on the Road, that'd be another trucking album. Or, you know, there's a lot of trucking albums.
Now, the great trucking albums, to my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, predominantly American ones.
Well, you know, I have to say that we more listen to American stuff, don't we? There is some good Slim out there, but it's hard to find.
But do Australian truckers listen to trucking music?
You know, I don't know.
I doubt it. I fucking doubt it. Look at them. Getting out of their cabs.
Well, they're all up on speed, so they're all bluey. It's
probably more...
Ray Kernaghan was a trucking man.
He was a truck. Yeah, well,
He was a truck.
He was a trucker man. He was me and Louie on the road. Ray Kernaghan, I'm sorry, he's like a little patron saint of ours.
Mm-hmm.
I won't have any bad words.
I'm not the one who called him a truck, so...
That's right.
Yeah.
So we've given away
a lot of kilos of Ray Kernaghan albums.
We've shifted for him.
I'm the one who loves you.
So basically,
oh God, you guys have to buy an 18-wheeler and just travel.
We had to buy an 18-wheeler to shift all the Ray Kernaghan albums that we bought from the dump. We bought a pallet load of brand new Ray Kernaghan records. We would have had like 900 of them.
We should have got some kind of distribution deal.
We should have. And we used these for a couple of years as prizes in Tamworth. And would give away dinner sets.
Did any angry women come up to you after doing
that? Yeah, fuck yeah. And we'd give them Ray Kernaghan records to calm them down. We'd give them 8. How big's your kitchen table?
I mean, having said this, it's like Tamworth is our premier audience, and I have to say we've been sorely rejected from Tamworth this year because we're doing circus show. You see, we've gone circus.
Oh. Who'd have thunk?
Yeah, really? Well, you know, it was a natural progression.
The Parramatta City Council heard about us and went, "Yep, we're going to have a circus and have the fuelers in it."
So yeah, it's like I have written somewhere that we supported Casey Chambers at one point. And we do circus gigs, and it's the same set. You don't do anything
different. How is Casey Chambers?
Well, she's on nodding acquaintance with us, which is a bit embarrassing, because the last time she nodded at us, we didn't recognise her.
Oh, so you blanked Casey Chambers.
Yeah, we did. It was really, really embarrassing. Because she's really nice.
We could have been huge by now.
Yeah, look, her dad's got some serious musical taste going on.
Yeah.
First time we went up to Tamworth was
He was the captain. She named the album after the first album.
Yeah, I guess kind of. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, and certainly when his taste was kind of dictating the style, she had some good old country standards going on up there. It was nice stuff. Mm. They used to do the Hillbilly Jam every Tamworth.
Personally, I liked her a lot better before she started doing the Cyndi Lauper covers. So
I'm with you there.
Yeah. But still, she does them with a kind of nice, true style.
I thought that voice was breaking glass myself on that song. But
doesn't matter.
Well, that is her voice across the board. I mean, like it or
I love it. I love it on the songs that are written for her voice. I thought.
That she writes for her voice. She writes her own songs.
What was your...
Oh, I was going to say, one of my second or third gigs with what was then Grand Theft Auto, I was supporting Casey Chambers at the...
Gypsy Bar.
That was lovely, and she did such a good show. She did a bunch of old-timey stuff.
We weren't even supposed to play. We were hired by the venue to be the support band, and they came along... And her producer, Nash Chambers, who produces a lot of big names, was back in the time where he still wore a bandana and played a conga between his legs and had a mate with another bandana playing kind of American East Coast rock guitar along. And they came along with their own opening act. And Bill Chambers was so lovely when he said, this thing's happened where they've double booked.
Double booked the support.
Play anyway.
Oh.
They were blown away by the fact that we still had suitcases for drums.
Yeah, the kick drum was the suitcase.
Hence the Reverend Suitcase.
That's right.
And I think the mix
the
of four, that...
The fifth fueler. Yeah. The fifth wheel of the fueler, the Reverend Suitcase.
Would often get compliments about the sound of that suitcase. Yeah.
It's just starting to get interesting in here, and I think we'll just have a long pod. But I do think we should play the next to last song, which is Black Widow.
Oh, which is a bit of zombie rock for
bit of zombie rock.
Zombie rock. Sounds
nothing great. Country here.
It's good for the hour and it's good for my state of mind. I'm getting a little bit zombie. It's very late.
Well, some of us have to drive home.
Yes. Oh, well. Anyway, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Thank you, this is,
yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Black Widow, now I keep contending that all your songs are about sex, and you guys keep denying it and calling
Black
me
Widow,
a pervert.
How's that one about sex?
Because Black Widows are famous for their murdering ways of their partners.
Okay, this is about a femme fatale. But
yeah,
but it's not directly about sex.
It's a love song,
right?
It's really about love
so
and
I'm just a pervert.
God. Yes, that's it.
Hey, love songs are all about sex, though. Honestly, you know, I'm like a one-eyed cat standing at the fish shop door.
At the seafood door,
yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, www.thefuelers...
All one word.
1L.com.au. No, dot com. No dot... No,
no dot... Do you want to do that again, blind boy? Yeah.
Okay, just give it to us again.
What are you doing?
It's www.thefuelers...
One word.
That's all one word, yes. That's right, dot com. And there's that's one easy. L in Fuelers because it makes one L of a difference.
Ooh! Oh,
that's a good memory trick.
And the Fuelers at MySpace.
Yeah, or it's MySpace / the Fuelers, however you look up.
One that. Word,
or
one L.
Word, the Fuelers.
Just one word, one L.
There you
how many friends have you got?
We have. How many real friends?
I only just walked in and now I can find it.
And hello to Bunny.
Hey, Bunny!
Bunny?
How many real friends do we have?
And
bonkers.
Yeah, she's not bonkers.
Yeah,
anymore.
No, MySpace friends. How many MySpace friends?
Oh, about 200. No, 100 and
62,000. 200
and 200 and something. That's
we're
not
fairly
bad.
New to this.
Yeah.
But it
I think
works
you need,
all right,
I think you
know,
need about 3,000 before you really got any cred.
Well, see, I'm not very digitally inclined.
Yeah,
but
if half of them are pedophiles, they don't count.
Yeah,
so
the
bands I'm talking about.
The real contacts have kind of been good. We've got a New Zealand band. Gonna do a tour in March that want us for some shows. And
I think that's the under.
Who, you know, it's
I think that's the
contact.
Underreported actual real function and usefulness of MySpace is bands doing things collectively and independently.
It is. It's just like pen pals, really.
Yeah.
And I kind of like keeping it at that level. I don't want 20,000 friends because I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And it's like looking on the web. You go, oh wow, there's a million billion people out there. So what?
Which one do I want to talk to?
Who do I really want to talk to? Not you, you know, looking for digital poker, you know.
So you made that sound much dirtier than it need be.
Oh, here we go.
What is this?
Who invited Dick Boy?
John, honestly, unbelievable.
No, but it is actually quite... digital poker. I mean, no one ever called it that before. I mean, it's online gambling.
Sorry,
you know, it's not
e-poker.
Digital.
E-poker.
It's even worse.
Oh my god.
No. No, it's just weird.
E-poker.
Well.
I'm glad that Jim Boots, my partner, and Sleaze could come with me there.
Yeah, I was
yeah. For Fuelers, they're just mildly disgusted.
Well, so
that's
there you
all.
Go.
It's
there's
okay.
There's
I'm
us in digital land. Here we are in digital land.
Now, look.
In real land, you can catch us at the Phoenix and
on the
local,
16th of
on the
December.
16th of December.
ACT.
Or, look, I tell you what, just better than that, go to the Adelaide Fringe, and in the last week, we'll be down there playing there, playing our little hearts.
Are you there as a comedy act or are you there as a music act?
You know, I've never worked that out. I don't know if they just indulge us or what.
I think you're there as a music act.
I don't know.
I think you play as a music
we're
actor.
We're going there for the Fuse Festival, which is...
I think it's very much a mix.
Well, we're going
you're,
there
you're
for...
uncomfortably, possibly, in the middle.
We
juxtaposed,
we,
even.
No, not juxtaposed at all. We win on some fronts because we're a musical act. We win on other fronts because we have some comedy elements to us. So we're
a
multi-pronged little unit, and so we get... Between country festivals, we've got folk festivals.
You loved it as well.
He liked prong.
Okay, prong.
No, multi-prong and unit. You were the one.
And the biggest throb and red thing that we've got going for us is coming right to you, John.
I think what you're actually talking about, given what you were saying before about playing to an audience, you have strings to your bow. It's not just one thing, you know. Oh, my God. No, it's better than prongs. Come on, don't talk about that. You can play to different audiences and you can appeal to wider audiences. And what you are is you are entertainers.
Yes.
With a wide variety.
With some nice songs.
Yeah, and
lovely songs.
Yes.
But look, just to support John Boy here, I just want to hear you quickly explain, before we play it, how do you... get around the idea that this song, which is called 8 Seconds in the Saddle, isn't about sex.
Can I ask you a question first?
It's a Ray Davies song.
8 seconds or less is, do you have a dysfunction that you...
Let's
your,
just say...
Your maximum
I
time is
have,
only 8 seconds?
Maybe when I was younger I might have once or twice, yes. Perhaps my first.
This song is... Right.
Why?
Look, once upon a time in the Queanbeyan pub...
It's actually about rodeo.
Yeah, a fellow came up to us and he said, are yous guys good? And I said, I don't know, you know, you be the judge. He said, because if yous good, I want you to do a song about my brother. I said, oh, all right, what's the story there? He said, he died in the ring. Oh, okay. That's fairly heavy. Colon cancer? And the Queen Bean... No, the Queen Bean...
The rodeo ring.
Buller armor had just happened. And this guy had a brother who was killed. And I thought, well, that's a fairly big call. Like, you want to ask us to do a song. Now, we have a song about a dead brother in our band. Some personal experience that gets played out. And so we did that song for him, and he was pretty touched. And I don't know, there's something of the adventurer in a rodeo rider. You can look at him and figure, that guy's got to be thick as two planks. But at the end of the day, there's some sort of heartfelt emotion.
There's certainly some danger there.
So, and it makes me think. It makes me think that Elvis really was talking about a one-eyed cat that was looking...
Peeping in it. Well, this is only because... Do you know that in that song, the actual verse they censored that they took out was about wearing a dress that you can see through, you know? And they took that out and left the peeping one eye. But that was the lack of knowledge in the censorship in 1955.
And it was our lack of knowledge as well, because we heard that song, we had no idea that it was actually about a guy who died 8 seconds into his ride on a bull.
Well, look, in the case of 8 seconds in the saddle, popping back to that little tune, it's just about the perennial loser who wants to be a rodeo star. You know, I met a guy in Queensland near Kilcoy, where the big abattoir is, and there was a fellow swimming in a swimming hole there with his hat on, and he said to me,
"Well, you don't want
to
get sunburned." I said, "What? Well,
no,
sensible."
No, and I said, "Should've had his sunglasses on." And he had a beer while he was swimming, which I thought was pretty strong swimming. And he said to me, "Well," I said to him, "you know, well, what do you do for fun?" He said, "Oh, look, I'm a professional rodeo rider, rodeo." And his mate piped in and said, "No, he isn't. He works at the Kilcoy Abattoir." And I thought, no, well, in this guy's mind, he's a rodeo rider. And his mate's going, "No, he only stayed on one for about 5 seconds. He never gets time. No, that's bullshit. He's not a rodeo rider." But in his mind, he was a rodeo rider.
Like that, don't you?
Well, I thought, well, you know, bless him. In his mind, he's a rodeo rider. In my mind, I can be one too, or a truck driver, or a rock and roll star, or whatever I want to be.
Or all of them. Roll all of the above.
So it's kind of about someone who's a no-hoper, who's putting their last 20 cents on.
Did the bloke who you wrote the song for pick up the no-hoper element that you were putting in there?
He didn't write this for that fella, though.
I don't write songs for people. I don't know. Okay. It's just something
it was an inspiration, not a cause.
Well, hey, look, if we were trying to be a country song, we didn't have a song about rodeo.
We didn't play
fucking... Listen to the fucking song!
Yeah, we've got some other great songs about trucks, too.
We love them.
Any particular type of truck?
8 seconds in the saddle.
Yeah.
8 seconds in the saddle has got nothing at all to do with sex, and we have to say goodbye now, and we have to say thank you very much to the Fuelers for coming along.
Thank you, Jim Boy, Jim Bob,
Blind Jim Boy, Blind Boy, Thingamy Bob, and Celtic Star.
Thank you.
Yay.
And a big thank you to the audience who listened through this much of us.
Good Lord, yes. There's probably 3 or 4 of them.
We like you in the Netherlands.
Yeah, right.
Well, we love going to the Netherlands and all through Europe. Those people are just great.
They're like a good best fans. Whipping with some spruce.
And if you want to get in touch with them, the Fuelers, just email podcast@the-rideac.com and we'll set you up.
Or go to www.thefuelers.com. One L.
Contact. Good night.
Good night.
Insatiable Banality.
You've been listening to Insatiable Banalities, podcast number 62, recorded on Tuesday, the 28th of November, 2006.